Today's gospel is found in the fifth chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1 on page 785 in your pew Bible. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of our core values at Shepherd of the Hills is this: we grace it up. That means that we are being loved even though we are still broken, because we live from God's forgiveness so that the joy that we have in Christ spills over to other people. It's a great biblical truth that you become that like that in which you put your trust. If you put your trust in gods of silver and gold, then you will be like them, spiritually lifeless, blind, and deaf. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, Psalm 135 says. The work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. There's no breath in their mouths. Those who make them and all who trust in them shall become like them. On the other hand, if you trust in God, you'll be filled with life and joy as you become more and more like him in this life and redeemed into the eternal life. G.K. Chesterton says this: when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. Take things for granted, like I deserve this, or gratitude of this is a gift. When Jesus teaches about grace, he doesn't make it some abstract doctrine. He offers grace through his presence and through the relational experiences that he gives the people who come in contact with him. It's not pronouncements or exposing their sin to demonstrate why they need to change. It's like the woman at the well, where Jesus approaches this Samaritan woman, and she expects what? Condemnation, because she's a Samaritan. She's a woman. She's there in the nude day and knows that she's guilty and shame-filled. She expects rejection from Jesus. But what does he give to her? Not condemnation. He names her brokenness, but not to show her that she is so awful, but to actually show her that he still loves her, even in her broken state. That he still desired to be close to her, to enjoy her company, and value her deeply. That was what could be called a mismatch. You expect one thing, and you get the opposite. A mismatch experiences will transform our lives, because the things that we've always thought and always known, the way people treat us, when someone doesn't do what we expect, it is an amazing moment of grace. It's an amazing moment of healing, actually. Same happened in the parable that Jesus told of the prodigal son. The son who went off to the far country and thought, if only I go back when I lost everything, I can tell my dad, could I just be one of your servants, please? And the experience he had was another mismatch. He expected the father to maybe reject him, or at the least, at the most maybe, to welcome him back into the servant's quarters. But instead, he runs to him and embraces him as a son. He was broken and still loved and valued. That's grace. St. Paul captured the same movement of grace when he talks in Romans 7:24 that he's a wretched man. But then in chapter 8, just a few verses later, he talks about that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Grace is never merely about cleaning up the past. It is God's loving embrace in the present, even with sin and imperfection still in view. I'm going to say that again because it's so crucial to this idea of we grace it up. Grace is never about simply cleaning up our past. It is God's loving embrace in the present, even with sin and imperfection still in view. Micah, that you heard today, and I love that piece that the choir sang along with that, reminds us we can never do enough but to walk humbly with God, doing justice, loving kindness, and that he wonders, if I did more things, would I gain more acceptance from God? Should I come with more burnt offerings or with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn as a sacrifice for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And his conclusion is none of that affects God's affection for us. It is in the walking, the day-by-day living out the reality that God loves and forgives you and me, and thus there we experience grace. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. Theologically, Jesus' death and resurrection embody the ultimate corrective relational experience, or the ultimate mismatch experience for us. Because in the moment of our deepest sin and alienation, God did not withdraw his love from us, instead drew near to us and redeemed us with his warmth and love. Very different than what we would expect or were given in our past relationships. Even in our brains, neurologically, the spirit continues this corrective experience, this mismatch, confirming that we are God's beloved children. Confirming that he is our Abba, our Father. That grace is not only a theological doctrine, but a neurological reality, transformational. It's hardwired into the very fabric of our brains that there is a transformative experience waiting for us when we embrace his grace. I really see this as the other side of grace, because I think we think of grace as simply we're bad and we need to be forgiven. But what it is that God even draws closer to us when we are broken. It's a resurrection. His death and resurrection is a confirmation that instead of it being that we're bad and unworthy or lucky that God was so loving, we experience that we're lovable, we're enjoyed and valued, even in the midst of brokenness and sin. That we can allow this principle of grace, this concept of grace, to pervade the rest of our relationships, which would reduce and eliminate the shame we experience. We would also strive then to love others, as we say, that our joy would spill over to other people. Because we can love others in their imperfections as God loves us. Because even though we are still broken, God loves us in a profound way. So we grace it up. We live out of forgiveness. The truth that you heard in Romans today is something we can believe, as Paul writes, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The church is meant to be this family of grace, a community where forgiveness is lived out as people draw near to one another and draw near to each other's failures and weaknesses and rebellion. And each act of acceptance with one to another, with you to me and you to each other, is like a mismatch experience, just like the father embraced the prodigal. These encounters do more than just soothe us. They rewire us. Our shame becomes something we can let go of because our minds can be renewed. This is the way the church is to act primarily. Not a lecture hall or a performance venue, but a relational body where grace is practiced and made tangible. Today, I'm sharing the pulpit with our brother, Bill Moberly, who was our mission of the month. And he's really a liaison between ministries that we especially are dear to our congregation. We're talking decades where we've been involved with Dr. Han in Vietnam and Pastor Sam in Cambodia. And he is like a liaison to them, from them to us, to share what's been going on, what's going forward, and where they would like prayer support and help. So Bill, if you could come up, please. And as he's coming up, he's going to first talk about Dr. Han, but I want to share these words, and let's read them together. I think they're on there. Chapter 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. So, Bill, Pastor Bill.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and it's an honor to be back with you again, and kind of a unique way we're doing this today. It's really a blessing. There we go.
Yeah.
I'm a little shorter than you. There we go. As you prepare to celebrate your 50th anniversary and celebrating these core values as a congregation, the whole concept of gracing it up is really a neat image of what it means to be involved in global mission. We often think of global mission as sending money and occasionally participating ourselves. But it's really about extending the grace of God to places that don't yet have it. As Pastor Jeff said, part of my role with Awakening Lives to World Missions is to work here in congregations across the country. We were reminiscing about that a little bit yesterday with a few members of the mission team here who started working with Shepherd of the Hills 16 years ago. It's hard to believe that it's been that many years. And then more recently, your relationship with, and even if you're new to the congregation, this may be news to you, or even if you've been around for a while, but your relationship with what was Vital Links and is now part of ALWM, the work of Dr. Hung in Vietnam, that medical work, really goes back 3 decades. That ministry was birthed in many ways out of Shepherd of the Hills. A decade later, you know, 20 years ago, Dr. Hung got brought into it and is now the heart and soul of the ministry. But it's extending the grace of God in places that don't have the gospel. That's what we're really doing. As we sit here this morning, you know, the world population is over 8.3 billion. More than 40% of the world's population has little or no access to this grace in which we stand. And we only hear it. We only have that gospel, we only hear the message if we go with that message, if we take the gospel and go. And so part of the role of Awakening Lives to World Missions is both to help congregations like Shepherd of the Hills catch a mission vision that extends to those who haven't heard, to those unreached and unevangelized places who are simply wanting additional help, additional resources. Pastor Sam, who you meet in a few minutes, put it this way to me some years ago. He said, look, you know the old saying that if you give a person a fish, you feed him today, you teach him to fish, feed him for a lifetime. Sam Pana put his spin on it in understanding what ALWM does. He said, Pastor Bell, you don't need to give us fish, and you don't need to teach us to fish. But he said, you provide for us fishing poles. In other words, you provide the resources we need, and sometimes those resources are big. Now, talking about Dr. Hung, first of all, we got a little video we want to share. Dr. Hung's ministry that you have been supporting now for 2 decades is a medical and evangelistic ministry providing resources to congregations in rural areas that have not only surrounded by thousands of people who don't know Christ. In Vietnam, for example, the evangelical population is under 2%, and yet due to the French colonial days, probably another 6 or 7% of the country have Catholic roots. It means more than 90% of the country has little or no faith in Christ. Freedom to know that we're loved and forgiven that comes through Jesus is not a message they've ever heard. And so Dr. Hung's ministry in providing medical care, all volunteers, medical doctors of various kinds, pharmacists, nurses, who go into these rural areas, sometimes a team of 20 or 25 people, who will see hundreds of people in a given day. And every Vietnamese pastor that I've spoken to over the now almost 8 years that ALWM has been part of that equation with the links with Dr. Hung, every pastor has said, look, this is our best evangelistic outreach every year. And not only their best outreach evangelistically, but it really touches people where they are because there's just an incredible need for medical care. So I wanted you to meet Dr. Hung. She'll, for a whole variety of reasons that have nothing to do with politics, she'll never get a visa here. So you'll never meet her in person. So we want to use video to do that. And I think we've got a little greeting from her, and then I'll pick up with what's going on with her today.
So I am here with Dr. Hung and her team so that they will be here today the whole day to train 50 people. So Dr. Hung has something to say.
Xin chào các anh chị em.
So good morning, brothers and sisters.
Chúng tôi đang ở Hội Thánh Tin Lành Dục Mỹ.
So we are at Dục Mỹ Church.
Sáng hôm nay sẽ huấn luyện thuốc cho các nhân viên y tế công cộng.
This morning we're going to train many people so that they can take care of their local community in the healthcare system.
Còn một nhóm thì sẽ đi lắp nước.
And also we have another group to go and install water systems.
Xin Chúa giúp đỡ chúng tôi, anh em cầu thay cho chúng tôi.
Please help to pray for us and also may the Lord have favor on us today.
Cảm ơn.
Thank you. Yeah.
She is a gem, and you know, if you ever travel with us, and we are taking a short-term team there again this summer, it's worth meeting her. It's just a blessing. Translating for her is our new project manager for Vital Links and for ALWM Vietnam. David is a real gift. For those of you who have been around the congregation for a while, how many of you have been around long enough to remember when Vun and his family were here? Anybody? Shows you how congregations turn over. We all get older, don't we? Anyway, he was here many years ago with his wife and was project manager for better than 20 years. He emigrated to the U.S. this past spring. And at that point, we thought, well, what will we do for someone who can be the liaison? Because if I'm the liaison between those two ministries and you and in other parts of the world, we thought, who would be the liaison between us and Dr. Hung? And Vun had filled that role. Well, David is just a wonderful blessing. Translation skills, he runs an English ministry, has worked part-time for the Billy Graham Association whenever there's a crusade in Vietnam, and he's our part-time project manager, so brings great blessing, and it's just wonderful to work with David. So you'll be seeing more of them as we use video to share occasionally firsthand what's been going on, but let me just summarize it this way. Where they were at Duc Mỹ, we were there just this past summer, weren't we? Or was the spring before that? Years run together. And in this case, Sally usually can prompt me, and she's not sure either. But Catherine, we were in Duc Mỹ. Yeah, we were this summer. Thank you. Senior moment. 18 years from now, I want to come here and get a quilt and have a cake. Okay? Senior moment. There we go. We were there this summer, and Duc Mỹ is a very remote area. We're going to be working in even more remote areas. But that's Dr. Hung's vision right now. If you've followed the ministry at all over these years. These medical evangelistic outreaches serving churches have radiated out from Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City for many years, and now that area is fairly well covered. It's not 1995 anymore, but there's more remote areas that have a tremendous need, and she wants to multiply herself. So what you're giving and our work does and other funds we raise is helping her to multiply herself. So she was in Dukmi, where we were this summer. She had a group of about 50 lay people and medical professionals from remote villages that she's training to be residentially doing the work she does when she would come in for a weekend to try and provide local medical care. So her vision over these coming years is to multiply herself, and we stand with her, and so do you. And just to tie it into the thought.
And there's a picture of this.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Great. Thank you. There we go. This is her instructing these folks. This was the first one of these events just a few months ago, and we're going to be doing more of these as the years, as the months unfold, to multiply leadership so it's not just about where she can be, but what God can do in these villages. And it's not only providing medical care, but all these are in, these are church leaders from rural congregations who stand in difficult circumstances, but will be able to provide medical care and ultimately offer the hope and the grace that's in Christ, the grace in which we stand. Because the people without Jesus, Paul put it well this way. He said, we were all once children of wrath like the rest of mankind, without hope and without God in the world. And that's the plight of those who don't know Christ. And for places like this where there's little or no access to the gospel, when we can share the gospel, we offer not only hope for eternity, but hope for the here and now. Pastor Jeff?
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. So Bill doesn't only represent Dr. Han, but also Pastor Sam. And I want to put up the next verse because this really does set up what the ministry that Pastor Sam and those that are serving in Cambodia go through. Let's read it together. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So I want to just play a quick clip right now of Pastor Sam.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas from Pastor Sam and our ARWM Cambodia teams. Thanks for your prayer and support. God bless.
Well, we have a special treat today. You know, it's amazing how technology has come to the place where after worship and after you have a piece of 90th birthday cake, if you step back in here, it'll be 1 a.m. where Pastor Sam is, but he's going to join us via Zoom during the Christ Connect time and answer some questions and just share. And the work in Cambodia is really illustrated well by the verse that we just read. It's Cambodia has had a tough history, like Vietnam, but more recently, peace didn't come to that country in some measure till the early 90s. If you've ever seen the movie Killing Fields, it captures some of what happened in the 70s. The devastation still ripples forward to today. And he's a courageous man, and we have a wonderful team there, and just thrilled that your support for him goes back to late 2018 when you adopted this ministry as well. And so we're grateful for that support. A very unique ministry. Pastor Sam has been planting churches with his team there for nearly 20 years. Here's a picture of a recent event. I was just in Cambodia, got back a few weeks ago. I think I'm over jet lag now. It's 12-hour time difference, so it takes a little time to get over that. And we did a training event with him and his leaders in Bible study method called Durality Method. It's specializing in sharing the gospel with people who don't necessarily read. And, of course, it's helpful even if you do. We were training his leaders and also a half a dozen from Myanmar in this tool that they can use to go out and share the gospel in their communities. That's part of the role that we have as well. Pastor Sam also works in a neighboring country, where there's a lot of Cambodians, as many Cambodians in this neighboring country as there are in Cambodia. And where it's live streamed like this, we don't always name the place, but they do some amazing work. And when we read about suffering producing endurance, endurance character, and character hope, if you're wired like me at all, you read that and go, "Boy, I'd sure love to learn that. Just can I read that in a book?" You know, there's something about experiencing that in practice. Suffering means precisely that, going through hardship. I mean, some of the best things in my life have come out of suffering, but at the time it wasn't a picnic. And it's certainly true for the work that they do in trying to take the gospel, again, in a place where less than 2% of the people are evangelical or have any access to the gospel. And in the neighboring country where they work, it's illegal to work. So I've got the quote here that I wanted to read that really captures. I recently wrote Pastor Sam. I said, "Tell me again what it was like the first time." Context: he was arrested in this neighboring country back in 2018, was in jail for a few weeks, wasn't sure he would ever get out. There's a whole story behind that that there isn't time to go into at this point. But he courageously continued to go back. Here we go. So this is part of the Bible studies training we had recently. So then fast forward to 2023. He was there doing some training with his leaders in this neighboring country. Now what that meant was either meeting in a Buddhist temple or just clandestine meetings at a coffee shop where they would look like they were about other business because the authorities watch them so close. But they met for a while in a Buddhist temple, were studying some materials we'd sent. And he went back to visit a few months later, and one of his coworkers, who always meets him at the border, wasn't there. And it turned out that that friend had, unbeknownst to Pastor Sam, had taken some selfies of him with the group gathered studying. The authorities follow them everywhere. They stop this guy. Don't need search and seizure permission like we might hear. Took his cell phone, searched through it, and he said, "What are all these pictures of you with these other men? And you got books and men and women. There's books in front of you. What are you doing?" End result was they arrested him, accused him of unlawful assembly. He was in jail for almost 2 years. He just got out this last fall. But what I had Pastor Sam remind me of what they responded with. Because imagine these are people who their leader has been carted off to jail. You know, what do you do? He said, "Each family," he said, "promised to me that they would keep their faith in Christ strong." He says, even though they can't meet like before, because now they were exposed, right? They could no longer meet. The government took down the names of who he worked with. They followed him and caught him. So the two or three families can get together. I see the fellowship that happens here every time I come. Can you imagine what it would be like if next Sunday you couldn't come back here anymore? And yet the fellowship, the encouragement, the support, the camaraderie, the grace that you experience together suddenly is absent, because if you gather with a few of these people, you're going to be arrested, right? So they tried to figure out a way to endure during that period of time while he was in jail. They could no longer meet together. The government had all their names, was watching all of them. And Sam summed it up this way. I'll go back to the quote. He said, "They cried when they saw me, and they said, 'God has great plans for us.'" Now, can you imagine? Your leader's been arrested. You can't meet together anymore. And rather than saying, "Woe is me," their response was, "God has great plans for us." That's what happens when suffering and endurance and character and hope grow in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. As we endure the challenges of life, the challenges we have certainly are real. The challenges as simple as, where does the next meal come from? And is there really hope in the gospel? Is there anybody out there that made me, that loves me, that cared for me, and to hear the message that Jesus died for me? Is the message that they share, and it's what you support. And we'll hear more from Pastor Sam. So, Pastor Jeff.
So, Bill, we want to pray for you. This is for your own ministry. Thank you for that, and just thank you for being here today. If you extend a hand of blessing to Bill as we pray for him. And Sally there, too. She's right in front of you, guys. You just play a hand on her shoulder. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what Bill shared today. Lord, for his frequent trips to the Far East, Southeast Asia. Lord, for the ministry that he shared with us today of Dr. Han's expansion of bringing medical care and the gospel to people who rarely see a doctor, if ever. We also thank you for Pastor Sam and his continued fervor for sharing the good news of Jesus. Lord, he's been doing this his entire life since he was, I think, 16 or something. And I pray, Jesus, that you'd uplift and build him up. Thank you that we get to actually hear him in person later this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would just bless him in his ministry. But be with Bill and Sally in their frequent travels in their with their family and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren even. Do you have great-grandchildren?
Yeah, we've got two of them.
Okay. And just thank you, Lord, for his ministry and his energy. We pray for his health and ask you to continue to keep and sustain him in your name. Amen. Thank you for being here, Bill. It kind of reminds me of the end of that passage from Matthew, what he talks about, what Sam's colleague went through. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we talk about we grace it up. And we are people of grace, that the joy that we receive from Christ spills over to others. And in this case, we pray that what we are giving to Pastor Sam and Dr. Han spills over, over and over and over to the people they encounter. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are sovereign, that you are Lord, that you love people all around the world and in these remote places to us, places that most of us have never been to. Lord, you are there and you are working in the midst of their lives. Lord, encourage them and strengthen them and keep them. And thank you for the grace that reaches into our lives when we are broken, when we are shame-filled, when we are feeling far from you. Lord, to look to you and see your kind embrace is grace, and we love that we can experience your grace all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.